Are you going to be more confused or less confused after today's show? Stay tuned and find out next on Principles and Policies. Hello, this is Chuck Michaelis. I'm your host on Principles and Policies. And today, we're going to start out talking about the Ohio House of Representatives overriding the governor's veto of a bill that protected women's sports and essentially disallowed certain aspects of transgender surgery. Now, by disallowed, banned, if you will. It didn't ban transgender surgery. It basically severely restricted it among children. And I'm sort of dumbfounded by some of the comments that I've heard. My own daughter, who knows something about government, asked if it was possible after the vote. Can they do that? Can they override the governor's veto? You know, after all those classes I taught you at summer camp and at home, and the other two girls kind of came down on her and said, of course, you need to go back. And she goes, well, I guess I need to go back and watch Schoolhouse Rock. And I go, that's not going to help you. Call your old man. I'll explain it to you and tell you where to look. Well, where you look is in the Constitution, and there is an ability for the legislature to override the governor, his vetoes. One of the problems we have here is that the governor vetoed that bill, which had two prongs, as we mentioned. What this bill that we're talking about is House Bill 68. It's has a couple of names. What it was really designed to do was protect women's sports. In other words, that men could not declare themselves to be women. We live in a very confusing age, ladies and gentlemen. We are using excuses like that there are people who are quote-unquote transgender. Yeah, there are. And you know what? They're exceedingly rare. Exceedingly rare. In fact, a number of them don't even know that they have extra chromosomes on the 23rd pair. That's where the transgenders have issues. They have extra chromosomes on the 23rd pair. And the 23rd pair is where your sexuality, your gender, again, hate that term, your sex is determined on the 23rd. If you're an XY, you're a guy. If you're a double X, you're the fair sex. That's the best way to remember it. If there's an XY, you're a guy. If it's a double X, you're the fair sex. Are there individuals who have multiple chromosomes on that 23rd pair? Yes. We all know about Down syndrome, trisomy 21. What that means is there are three chromosomes, not genes, chromosomes, chromosome bodies on that 21st pair. There are many other trisomies and what they call polysomies, sometimes up to four. Most of them are fatal. But we've all known people that were Down syndrome, and they don't call it that anymore. They call it trisomy 21. Nonetheless, actually they do call it that, Down syndrome. But let's go back to, trisomy 23 or quatrisomy 23. The one that most people, are quote unquote intersex. There'll be XXY, XYY. There are any number of combinations, and in fact there are triple X, 3X chromosomes. Do you know what triple X people, what symptoms they have? They don't have any. They're perfectly capable of reproduction. They're perfectly they're women who tend to be very, believe it or not, they tend to be hyper feminine. They don't appear to have much in the way of fertility issues unless they've got some other mechanical issue going on. Now, XXYs, XYYs can have the consequence of having the characteristics of both sexes. Now, these are unfortunate individuals. And we should be in prayer for them. They really, these are people who really could stand to, can kind of choose where they're going to go. We cannot blame them for wanting to, be one place or another. That being said, the people we're talking about in, women's sports, these are full males. These are XY guys with their full complement of testosterone. They're muscular, they're larger muscular strength, they're larger frames, the whole thing, who are competing in women's sports by merely taking some hormones and making the claim that they're women. This is an absurdity on its face. When I hear that a female somewhere in, like in Texas, I believe is one of the places when a female in Texas suddenly is breaking all kinds of weightlifting records, you have to go down, you know, 8 paragraphs to suddenly find out, well, she's transgender. And by the way, I hate that language. A man that's a person that is XY is a male. It doesn't matter how much surgery you have. Doesn't matter how many hormones you take. You're a male. Is that an absolutist position? Yes, it is. And it should be. But that being said, that person that's competing in women's sports is a male. Breaking weightlifting records, breaking swimming records, breaking track records. Track and field records, you know, javelin throws, discus throws, high jumps, hurdles, and that kind of thing. Men are better. Why? We're bigger. We have more muscle mass. We have more testosterone, which means we're highly competitive. Even taking female hormones, we still got the old testosterone, even after you have altering surgery, your body still attempts to make up the difference and put out more testosterone. The beauty of the human body. You were fearfully and wonderfully made, and you were fearfully and wonderfully made as one sex or another, and you were fearfully and wonderfully made even if you are so-called transgender. So the SAFE Act, which is what the House Bill 68 was called, and SAFE, and the SAFE Act stands for Saving Adolescents from Experimentation, which is a really great name for a bill, SAFE Act. And that's exactly what's happening, folks. These surgeries and these pumping kids full of hormones and hormone blockers and all these things is not safe. And therefore, you enact legislation to keep them safe. Now, are there all kinds of things that can come up from the, we have a new kind of thinking, a new reality. Now, that isn't based on anything like reality. You cannot change. Now, I've heard people that really think that you can change your genetic makeup by having surgery and taking hormones. You cannot. You cannot. You are either double X or XY. And if you're not, in the extremely rare case, we're talking like one in between 7 and 10,000 births that you have this trisomy 23 or polysomy 23. You are male or female. Period. Now, the polysomies are 23s are trucked out every time one of these comes up, and it's to make and try to make some kind of a point. I'm not sure exactly what point they're trying to make, but they're appealing to your emotions rather than to your thought processes, and that's the way this is done. Look, folks, we just came through a thing where we had a vote in this state that allows people to murder their infants at any stage of the pregnancy. Right up just before birth, you can choose to abort the infant you're about to have. You voted for it, not you personally, but you as a state voted for that. And we shouldn't be surprised that there are our thought processes are extremely corrupt at the moment. And mostly what you saw in the ads, the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars that Planned Parenthood and some of the other foundations that are pro-abortion poured into this state to emotionally manipulate you into voting for that constitutional amendment. We're allowing ourselves to be corrupted through manipulation of our emotion, not through our thought processes. If we thought it through, we would know that your gender, the way this is very often put, and it's the same kind of language that went on in the abortion debate. The way this is put is, you are assigned a gender at birth. No, folks. You are not assigned your gender or your sex. Sex is a better word. Gender is a term of language. You were assigned your sex at conception. The moment that the sperm meets egg and there is a recombination of the DNA of the two hunks, because remember, the male supplies 50% of the chromosome body. The female provides the other 50% of the chromosome body. Once those meet and recombine their DNA, I'm not going to get into that, hence the term recombinant DNA, because the DNA, the two chromosome bodies trade genes, which is a really interesting process. Explain that from an evolutionary standpoint, you can't. Once that happens, you are either male or female, and that is at conception, not at birth. So anytime you hear the phrase assigned at birth, no, wrong. You are assigned at conception. And that's a very important, you may think that's a subtlety. It's not. Because who's in control of how all that happens? Whether you get pregnant or not, whether or not it's a male or a female, or whether or not it's one of the unfortunate individuals who are polysomies. Who decides that? It's God. Now, we're on a Christian radio station and we're doing a Christian radio broadcast. We believe that God is sovereign over these things. Why does God allow polysomies? I don't know. I don't totally understand. But we do know that these things happen. Let's subtract that out of the equation. The real equation here is men who, for some reason, decide they think they would have a better life as a woman. Think in terms of Bruce Jenner. I refuse to call him Caitlyn Jenner. If he wants, take it back. If he wants to be called Caitlyn, fine. I don't have any trouble with the name. But the fact is, you are not a woman. You are a man. You can think of it, and women who decide that life would be better as a male. It's interesting. There have been some people who've done independent work. There was a woman who did a feminist who decided to prove that it was better to be a male. So she took on a male persona. She did not do transgender work, but she took on a male persona. And got a male haircut and put on men's suits and got a job in the business world and, tried to act as much like a man as she understood it can be done. And by the way, part of that is part of our genetic makeup. We understand manhood from a man's perspective because we're men, and we don't understand womanhood from a woman's perspective because we're men, and vice versa. My wife and I have had long discussions about this. Do you really understand what men go through? And she goes, no, not really. And I said, and vice versa, we don't understand what you go through. It's a matter of we almost can't understand it because, well, we can't understand it because we can't live it. So this woman, this feminist who decided to become a male for a period, actually came out and said, I've discovered something. I've discovered that men have it far more difficult than I thought. I didn't understand that men, you know, she went through this whole myriad of things that you know, happened to men, and she didn't understand it because suddenly she was, you know, she would try to just be friendly with women because, let's face it, folks, women tend to make friends easier than men do, although women are also tend to... I don't want to make this is a generality, so like all generalities, it's false. But women also can click up and exclude other women more readily than men do. Men sort of either, if they don't like you, they ignore you, or you get in a fight, and if you get in a fight, very often you end up being friends. Why? Because you've worked out the whole dominance issue. And we do things, we just do things differently than women. And this woman came out and was very apologetic because she says, I didn't really understand what men went through. Now, eventually this led to deep psychological problems for this woman. I think she committed suicide after finding this out because everything she'd lived for her entire life turned out to be a lie. And, do we have differences between men and women? Obviously. Are men sometimes callous when it comes in regard to the way they treat women? Oh, absolutely they are. You know, we laugh about the idea, when a feminist is giving us a hard time, you can really get under their skin by saying, oh, be quiet and go make me a sandwich. Well, you shouldn't do that. That's really not the way to handle it. It's good for a laugh when you see it happen, but it's not a good thing. And that's not a Christian way to handle it. We should be trying to figure out how each other are thinking and deal with that. Now, on the SAFE Act, since we know that especially young children. Young children given puberty blockers, especially girls given puberty blockers, it creates brain issues, brain development issues. Remember, even though you are still young and you have all the organs and things you're going to have, your brain develops. It continues to develop into your 20s. And if you start giving kids puberty blockers, which have a profound effect on brain chemistry and the way the brain develops, you can create severe brain damage. And you can create situations where you're supposedly giving, and this is another euphemism you'll hear, gender-affirming care. You cannot affirm someone's gender when they are a male trying to become a female and a female trying to become a male. You cannot affirm that. That is not affirmable because it's false. It's a false way of looking at things. You know, you cannot. Now, are there people who have tragic things that happen in their childhood that give them psychological issues to make them think this, that, or another thing is going on in their life and it would be much better to be the other person? The answer is, yeah, there are all kinds of psychological blocks and damage that get done by parents and people who get molested outside the parents' knowledge, people who get traumatized by relatives, adults, friends of the family, name that, and that can create serious problems. But these things can be handled. They can't be permanently fixed, but they can be handled with things like therapy. Especially good Christian counseling, prayer. I'm not saying that all mental illness is cured by prayer and Christian therapy, but even secular therapy, you can bring people around to an understanding to deal with what the things that are happening to them. They can deal with the fact that they're really not going to completely forget it or get over it, but they can inculcate it into their thinking, understand what happened to them, and create life situations where they don't have to deal with the fallout from it, or they do deal with the fallout from it and say to themselves, I'm not going to let this permanently damage me. That's kind of the essence of counseling. Christian counseling, secular counseling, is teaching people to deal with the things that have happened to them. Because we live in an imperfect world. We live in a world full of sin. What does that mean? Are we sinning as well? Yes, we are. There's no way around that. We're all sinners. Are there are ways to deal with having been abused by a parent. You can either become abusive yourself, for which you need counseling, or you can decide to go completely the other direction and say, I will never treat my children, spouse, name it, like that. I will never be that person. And I speak from some experience in there. I'm not going to go into that. The goal of counseling is to get people to deal realistically with the trauma and the damage that they have. And that's what we should be doing, encouraging, rather than saying, oh, we can fix your problem by making you something that you're not. We've had cases. Now, this whole idea that you get to decide what you are and you can be anything you want as long as you identify as that. Well, we've seen that put to the lie. If you recall, several years ago, there was a woman named Rachel Dolezal. Does anybody remember Rachel Dolezal? If you don't, she was head of the NAACP in the Pacific Northwest someplace. I think Seattle, maybe. I forget all the details, but nonetheless, she supposedly was a woman of color, a black woman, she became head of the NAACP, did all these, became a anti-racist activist, which is fine. That's a good thing. But what she had done was she actually was white and had tried to claim then that she was mixed race, and it turned out she was not. She curled her hair. She took things to, and used makeup to make her skin look darker. And she kept saying, but I identify as black. I identify as black. I identify as an African American. It doesn't matter. And the African American community, understandably, kind of came unglued over this. You know, it's kind of why, sometimes you look back at old movies. And I can think of a specific case. You look back at old movies, and you can see people who are Breakfast at Tiffany's, not a movie I would recommend, but Mickey Rooney is in that movie. And he plays Holly Golightly, the heroine of the show. Holly Golightly's landlord. Well, Mickey Rooney is made up to look Asian. And he does a very stereotypical performance as an Asian landlord, complete with buffoonery and all that stuff, confusing R's and L's and that whole thing. And honestly, in modern day, it's an offensive performance. I'll be quite honest. I'm pretty thick-skinned. I found it offensive, and I understood why Asians at the time were very unhappy. why didn't you just hire an Asian actor? There's plenty of them in on the West Coast. There's lots of them in Hollywood. You could have hired an Asian actor. There are lots of great Asian actors. There were lots of great comedic Asian actors. I'm thinking in terms of a Jack Su. If you're old enough, you know who Jack Su was. Jack Su was a very funny Asian actor. He was on Barney Miller. I think he played Lieutenant Yamana. Or Sergeant Yamana. But he was very deadpan, very funny. And he would have been a great guy to play that part. Why didn't they do that? I don't know. I have no clue. But the fact that when you're with friends and you play these stereotype games and that kind of thing, it's one thing. But when you do it in public and you are bringing kind of derision down on an entire ethnic group, it's another thing. And Rachel Dolezal basically embarrassed the black community, the African-American community in the area where she was by pretending to be and fooling people into thinking she was African-American. She was not. And we've got this thing that now all we have to do is say, well, what's the phrase? I'm one of 27 genders. I'm one of the, you know, there are claims, there are all kinds of claims about how many genders there are. There are not. There are two. There are male and female. And we can play these games and get psychologists to come out and declare that we now recognize X number of genders and we will help you counsel you into fitting into the slot here or there. No. You are male or female. Now, with children, who's influencing children? Teachers are. Media is. How damaging is it when someone who claims to be, you know, who is a popular person, like on the Disney Channel maybe, or on some other media, a singer or a comedian or what have you, somebody popular in the media, specifically a TikTok star, YouTube Shorts, YouTube star, comes out and says, well, I've decided that I'm going to transition to the opposite sex. What influence does that have on children? It has a lot of influence. Why? Because teachers are being taught to, in school, in to encourage that kind of, help your children become the individual that they are. I agree with that. You should encourage, I encourage my kids and I encourage my grandkids to become the individuals that they were. What I didn't encourage them to do was become the opposite sex or attempt to do that. And I would have discouraged it, and frankly, I would not have allowed it. Now, you get to be 18 years old, you move out. I can't stop you anymore. But don't ask me to accept you as the opposite sex from what you were assigned at conception. Why should I not accept that? I'm the father. I know what God made you, and I know what God wants you to be. He does not want you to emulate another sex. He wants you to be the one he assigned to you. Now, what does that mean? It means it's God's will for you to be the sex you were assigned. What if you want to be something else, does God allow it? Well, he allows you to wallow in your sin. He also allows you to bear the consequences of the sin that you demanded to wallow in. And by that, I'm aware that people who undergo transgender surgery, and the whole idea, the way it's pushed to the public, is that this is for their safety, because the rate of suicide in teens and young people who feel these feelings that they want to become the opposite sex, that suicide rate is too high. Well, I agree with that. But guess what? It's higher on people who do succeed in mutilating themselves into the other sex. Well, again, you cannot mutilate yourself into another sex. You can change the plumbing. You cannot change the genetics. These are facts. Honestly, it is very difficult for people to deal with that, because there is this idea that you can actually become the other sex. Now, does this create a great deal of confusion? Yes. When you see there was a great deal of confusion about that. Remember the Nashville shooter, down in Nashville, Tennessee, the Christian school that got shot up, the principal murdered, the pastor murdered of the sponsoring church. That shooting was done by this is where it gets confusing. I'm looking at Wikipedia, a terrible place to start, by the way. It was perpetrated by someone who was going by the name Aiden Hale, 28 years old, Aiden Hale, born Audrey Elizabeth Hale. So this has got really confusing in the media, because everybody got lost in the he, her thing. She, him. I did for a time. I had to go through and read a couple of articles to get it straight in my own head exactly who was who and what was what. Because I was given the impression at first that this was a male who had transferred to a female, and it was the opposite. It was a female who had taken male hormones. Now, this is one of the problems you run into, and we talked about it earlier. Men have higher levels of testosterone. Testosterone can make men who have huge levels of testosterone tend to be more aggressive. We all have, women have a little bit of testosterone floating around. Otherwise, they wouldn't have much motivation to do anything. Testosterone is motivational. It's a motivational hormone, and it's a driving hormone. Remember, estrogen tends to make women, it overrides the testosterone, but the testosterone is still there and it has an effect. All right, so this Audrey Elizabeth Hale transitioned to Aiden Hale, despite her parents' best efforts. She was 28 years old, and I say she. The news media will say he. But this woman had transgender surgery and got herself pumped up, pumped full of testosterone. Why do they pump women full of testosterone? The only way to overcome natural estrogen and progesterone production is by countering it with testosterone. Well, what does that tend to do? It tends to make you aggressive. So, was she aggressive? Obviously, she was aggressive. And obviously, it wreaked havoc in her female brain. Because women are not designed to handle that much testosterone. It's bad enough for guys. Guys do stupid things. You know, all I got to do is watch teenage boys. You can't leave teenage boys unattended for too long, because they tend to do stupid things like start fires, make motorcycle ramps to try to kill themselves. They drive too fast. They just do dumb things. Why? It's that aggression thing. They're really not afraid to die, which is a bad thing. They're really not afraid to get hurt. I've got lots of friends with lots of scars where we're like, yeah, when I was younger, I was pretty dumb. Well, what's that dumbness caused by? They're not stupid, but they were under the influence of a high amount of testosterone, which we have until we're, oh gosh, in our mid-30s. not as high as perhaps in our early 20s. But it's a well-known fact. You cannot do this. So the effect is we've got a woman who wanted to become a male and therefore took on the outward appearance of a male and pumped themselves full of hormones and then went and pumped a bunch of children and adults at a Christian school that she had attended, by the way. She had attended there, full of lead. Now, why did she do that? She'd been planning it for months and months. Sent out an Instagram message that was basically what she, a suicide note is what an old friend said. The friend called a crisis hotline and then contacted the sheriff's office. She shot her way into the school and entered the building, went about her work. 6 people, 3 students, 3 staff were killed at random. I don't think that's true. The staff who died were a substitute teacher, a custodian, and head of the school, Catherine Kuntz. She went in there. What the idea is for killing others rather than just killing yourself. First of all, you shouldn't consider killing yourself, but second of all, killing others, taking others with you, just doesn't. I have trouble understanding that. I really do, and it's part of the mental illness of being a woman who has mutilated yourself and is demanding to be accepted as a rather obvious female who's trying to become male. Unfortunately, I saw one of those. I was out last night doing what I normally do on Thursday, the second Thursday of the month. I was at a session meeting, and I pulled into a UDF to get a snack. It was late, and I hadn't had dinner. I pulled over and got a snack, and here came I don't know for sure, but I believe this person was a transgender. I'll be quite honest, clearly dyed clown red hair, wearing tight booty shorts, very short, tight, and a tight t-shirt. And I heard this person speak, and it became obvious to me that dressed up like a girl, but a boy. The voice was too deep. It was deeper than women generally can get. We've all heard women with smoky voices that are a little deeper, but we can pick them out as a woman. This was a male. It's not just I'm a strange person. I intend to have everyone view me as a strange person, and then when they do view you as a strange person, then you get angry because can't I just live my life and be who I am? You can do that, but let's face it, you're going to be noticed and you're going to be held up as something not to be emulated. And I have relatives who are homosexual, and this person told me they don't just want to be tolerated, they want to be fully accepted. And I said, I'm sorry, but you're never going to get past just toleration. You cannot be accepted. You do something that is in violation of God's law and His word. Now, this same person tried to convince me. They went to a quote-unquote gay-affirming church, a homosexual-affirming church. And the pastor took great pains to say, well, God didn't really forbid homosexuality, despite the clear words of Scripture. And this is what we're up against with the transgender. God has not said, God does not say there are two genders. God does not say that there are, that you are male or female. God does say that. There are people who try to claim that the Old Testament scriptures recognize, I forget how many genders this was. The last one I heard was 17. Maybe that might have been that 27 number. No, they don't. They recognize two sexes, male and female. And we all know that God assigned them at birth. I just fell into the trap. At conception. Now, what kind of nonsense do we get at the governmental level? Well, we've just been talking about the SAFE Act, and it was overridden by the Ohio House of Representatives by a sufficient number to count as an override. So it was a positive override. Now we have to wait for the Senate. In the Ohio Senate, has 33 members. There are 7 Democrats and 26 Republicans. Well, okay. Requires a 2/3 majority, which is 67%. So we look at a calculator real quick. 33 for 2/3 requires 22. So there are 26 Republicans, 4 more than necessary. Override that veto. Okay. That being said, who knows what's going to happen? Now, we already know the House is overridden. I think the Senate has to come back in a special session to do the override, which they will do. Will they vote? Yeah, I think, honestly, there's enough uproar that, yes, the Senate will also vote to override, which means that the original bill will go into effect as law without the governor's signature. Now, the governor has made all kinds of goofy excuses of why he vetoed this bill. And then if you've not been living under a rock, he came right out and did an executive order on the whole gender, quote unquote, gender affirming care thing. And it's a weak sister. It's seriously weak. His executive order. What does the SAFE Act do? It essentially requires a whole bunch of hoops to be jumped through before you can transition a child. It should have banned it, but it didn't. And the governors really did very close to nothing. I'm looking at a couple of stories here that talk about this issue. And by the way, I had a guest that I was trying to get on here to talk about it, because I'm recording this on the January 12th, 2024, and the override happened on Wednesday. I wanted to get hold of her yesterday. I had a day that filled up, and so I couldn't get her in here. And we'll have her on to talk about this, because she went down to the State House to observe the vote, and in fact was asked her to come in and observe the vote. Why? Because they know if they don't override this, they could be in big trouble. Remember, one thing I want to point out, we're going to look at the politics of this a little bit. Mike DeWine has no place else to go. He's been a senator, and he got removed from the Senate when he started playing this kind of shenanigan. Remember, he's a Republican, but he's a rhino, a Republican in name only. He is a liberal Republican. He converted from the Democratic Party so he could get elected to the Ohio House of Representatives. I believe it was the House. Yeah, it was the House. He ran for U.S. Senate. And he got elected. I think he served 2 terms. And his last term, he was so grotesquely unpopular that he got turned out as quickly as it could be done. So he goes into basically into his retirement, and suddenly John Kasich decides he'd be a great replacement for John Kasich, which should shock no one. Kasich was essentially a clone of my. He's the same type as Mike DeWine, a rhino. Plays conservative when it buys him votes, and plays liberal when it will buy him votes. And he assumes that most of the time, liberal will buy him votes. All you have to do is look at what he's done. You'll notice that he's become very quiet during the whole presidential campaign. He had big designs that he was going to be the dark horse candidate who came in to unite a split convention for the nomination, and he would be the guy that they would pick. Several of them. But Chris Christie thought he was going to do the same thing. Okay, let's go back to this. Mike DeWine really knows he's not going anyplace else. Some people, I've seen a lot of commenters from other states on websites who are like, you guys need to remove this guy as quickly as possible. I go, he's out. He's term limited. He's done. And he's not going to any other office. He might be able to run for dog catcher. He might be able to get back into the Ohio House. He might be able to get back into the Ohio Senate. I doubt it. I think his political career is over. So, what is a guy who is going from the U.S. Senate to a governorship, what's he looking for? He's looking for money from lobbyists. He wants to become a lobbyist. A lot of these guys move into lobbying groups and consulting groups after their political careers are over. And believe me, Mike DeWine's is done. They move into, I actually thought he was done after the Senate, and then the Ohio Republican Party betrayed everybody and shoved this guy, Mike DeWine, down our throats. And the Democrats ran such radicals against him, there was a lot of people viewed it as no other choice than to vote Mike DeWine back in. And I can still remember some Christian groups telling me he's our only choice. Some leaders of Christian groups, he's our only choice. And I said, no, there are some third-party guys. We can't win with a third party. Yeah, well, tell that to Jesse Ventura. In any case, so Mike DeWine would like to go into lobbying. Well, who benefits from his veto of the SAFE Act? Think about it for a minute. Who would be unhappy with the SAFE Act, the part of the SAFE Act that interferes with colleges bringing on male athletes, disguising them as females, and running them in their programs? Who would benefit by continuing to be allowed to do that? The universities, folks. Ohio State, Ohio U, other big universities in the state. Kent State, Bowling Green, all these universities lobbying so that they would be allowed to basically bring in these transgender athletes, treat them like women, and have them win NCAA events because the NCAA refuses to do its job. Why? Because it's full of politically correct activists, flat out. Liberal activists who are trying to change the culture, and therefore we change the culture by eliminating sex as a determiner on athletic ability. Look, all you have to do is get on YouTube and watch the USA soccer team getting trounced 12-0 by a mid-level club soccer team, getting beaten by boys' high school teams. Why? Are they great athletes? Yes, they are. Inside their bracket. Inside their bracket, they're great athletes. I personally enjoy watching things like women's tennis. Can women compete in men's tennis? No, they cannot. Can men compete in women's tennis? Yes, they will trounce the women. Don't think that this is blasphemous. I once saw Serena Williams asked the question, and I saw John McEnroe ask this question. Somebody said, John McEnroe was going on and on about how Serena Williams might be the greatest tennis player ever, and she might be. Wouldn't shock me. She's an excellent, I mean, really just a fantastic tennis player. And one of the women on the panel says, why don't you just say she's one of the best ever? And he goes, because a man would thump her. She can't win in the men's bracket. Now, I go to a talk show, and I forget who it was. It may have been Jimmy Fallon. Somebody asked her about competing on the men's circuit. You know, you could beat the men, right? And she goes, no, I can't. And he said, well, you can't beat the men. She goes, no, it's an entirely different game. Men play power tennis. Women play finesse tennis. I can't compete in that power tennis game. Now, Serena is not small. She's muscular. She's in great shape. She's muscular. But the fact is, she admits she cannot play in that power game. She got beat by a guy. It was a mock-up match, and they both knew that. But she got beat by a guy in three sets who was ranked 216th. These are the facts. You bring men in, you dress them up as women, you give them some hormone shots, have them change their name, and they can come in and set records at your school. Flat out. And you get the added liberal points, talking points. Look what we did. We affirmed his gender, and we enhanced our women's program and made it even better so we can bring more money in and have greater women's programs. No, folks. What you're doing is you're destroying young men and young women. Now, you'll notice, look, no women are jumping over to become male athletes. Why? They know they can't compete. It's as simple as that. I've seen mixed track meets where men and women run in the same track events, 440s, 880s, that kind of thing. They have to very carefully fix up their starters and their anchors, because usually men anchor the team. Why? Because they can make up 150 meters in the last lap. I've watched these things, and they're all top level athletes. Does that mean that women are less watchable? No. Some of the women's track events are fantastic. They're really great to watch because they're tough competitors. This is what you get into. Let's go to the other side. Who stands to benefit from very loosened up rules on the basis of a basic what amounts to a kind of a do nothing. It does something, but a do nothing executive order that can be overturned by the next governor who comes into the office, if he so chooses. Who benefits? Hospitals, physicians who are make their living counseling and providing the drugs and providing all the services that would be needed by someone who's living a life they're not supposed to be living, because there's lots of medical treatments that need to be done. There's lots of surgery, very expensive surgery, I might add, and multiple surgeries. So who would like to have this business? Well, hospitals and the doctors who do it. Supposedly, because the suicide rate is higher among transgenders. Who else? Psychologists. So basically, Governor DeWine would like very much to go into lobbying and have this under his belt and say, hey, I did this for you. You need to pay me $1 million a year or whatever. It wouldn't be that obvious. But it would be spoken. And there are lobbying groups that would pay him huge amounts of money to do just that. And he wouldn't have to do much. A lot of these, like John Boehner, went from the Ohio House over to K Street lobbying firm in Washington, D.C., making much more money and getting a lot, as much liquor as he can handle. All you have to do is listen, and as I've spoken about, I pulled up a CBS news thing on HB, and it's all talking about how the Ohio House is trying to override gender affirming care. No, they're not. What they're trying to do is make it much, much, much more difficult to mutilate children and destroy their lives. That's what's happening. And if it happens to comport with God's law, that's a good thing, in my book. Let's take a look at a headline I saw, and my mind was boggled a little bit. This is from the Daily Caller. Here's the headline. Biden administration pours nearly $700,000 into a program to prevent transgender boys from getting pregnant. This is the kind of headline you would expect when you've gone over into clown world. No other way to put it. This is a clown world. This is definitely a clown world headline. And basically what it's saying is, remember, a transgender boy is a girl who believes themselves to be a girl. Why would you have to spend $700,000 for children who are transgendering? What would they even want to engage in the activity required to get pregnant if they're transitioning? And the term that the term was cisgender sexual minority girls, 14 to 18, to address social and structural influences of sexual behavior in transgender boys, meaning girls, according to the grant's description. So they gave $700,000 from the Health and Human Services to the Center for Innovative Public Health Research. Oh, that's innovative, all right. No doubt about that. It's definitely innovative. Transgender boys who are biological females may be less likely to use condoms when having sex with people who have male anatomy and are at least as likely as cisgender girls, at least as likely as cisgender girls to be pregnant. That should, if it doesn't boggle your mind, if that does not make you just do a double take and shake your head and say, how can this be? Then I would say that you have either drunk the Kool-Aid or you're not paying attention. And this is what Governor Mike DeWine vetoed in order to enable this kind of stuff. Now, he has no effect on federal grants, but he does have the chance to affect the worldview of people who are thinking in these terms. These are not real terms. This is all fake. This is off in clown land. It's illogical. It doesn't make any sense. And yet, here we are. This is where we are right now. We need to do things. So, if I were you, I would contact your state senator and ask them to support the override to vote to override the governor's veto. Call your state senator, ask them to vote to override the governor's veto. Okay, you know what I think. I want to know what you think. www.principledpolicy.com. That's principledpolicy.com. And join me again next week for another Principles and Policies.